Thankful for your presence this morning. Before I get into the lesson, I have a couple of words of thanks to give to the congregation here from my sister and from my brother. As you know, Jan had surgery on Monday. I finally was able to talk with her yesterday, but even before that, she had sent a text message, I think, to me to tell me, be sure to tell the brethren at Southside how much she appreciates the encouragement that she received from each of you and in cards and other words of encouragement. She said in many ways she considers the congregation here to be her second congregation. She's visited here on many different occasions, and she thinks an awful lot of each one of you. My brother also expressed similar thoughts throughout his time and the surgeries that he's had. He's received letters and cards from the congregation here. He's very appreciative of those. When I spoke to Jan yesterday, she said that she is doing remarkably well. She can't really fathom how well she is doing. She says, I haven't even had a Tylenol since Thursday morning. So that's great. My brother, of course, his surgery was on Friday to remove a blood filter that was in his chest that had been there for about a year. And there was some concern that, you know, it might have attached and been difficult to remove. But he says, I think they just squeezed me real hard and it popped out, because he says, every time I laugh, my chest hurts. You know, so I'm sure that's not what they did. But it went without any complications, and it went fine. He thinks that when they were checking for blood clots before the surgery, that they might have squeezed him or something. I don't know. Anyway, his discomfort was just that he said he felt like somebody had jumped up and down on his chest when he was asleep. But anyway, he'll be all right. He's pretty tough. But I thank you on their behalf. Yesterday, several of us were fortunate enough to be at the celebration of Jeremiah's first anniversary of his birthday. And before everything kind of got started, standing around and visiting and so forth, and I think it was Freddie that spoke up and said, can he walk yet? And his grandpa said, well, yeah, he can walk. And has to have somebody help him a little bit. He has to be holding on to somebody. So sure enough, you know, they get him up, and he holds on, and he takes a few steps and so forth. And I couldn't help but think, you know, that's the way we all are. When we first start learning to walk, we lean on someone and have support from others as we do that. But that's also true spiritually, that as we learn to walk with Christ, that our first steps, we are totally depending on Him. And the more we mature in Christ, we realize that we continue to be dependent upon Him and lean upon Him. So this morning, I've chosen for a title for our lesson, Walking with Christ, and that we might appreciate our walk with Christ. Colossians 2 and verses 6 through 7 says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. You've received Him, now walk in Him. Continue with Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Enoch, we're told, walked with God, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. Abraham walked before God in an upright way, Genesis 17 and verse 1 records. Walking, of course, the term walking indicates progression. You're moving forward. We are walking hand in hand with Christ. We're walking beside Christ. We're walking in fellowship with Christ. It's our manner of life, and it's a progressing and maturing in Christ. To walk with Christ, we must walk in accordance with his commandments, just as our text here emphasizes to us. As we have received Christ, we are to walk in him, rooted and built up in him. We're not to change the direction that we receive from him. He teaches us how to walk with him. And it's not up to us to change the direction or the course of our life. We are to live in accordance with his will. We are rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, not a faith, not our faith, but the faith that comes by hearing the word of God. As you have been taught, don't change it. As you have received it, walk with Christ Jesus. Continue to live as the doctrine of Christ teaches us, abounding in it. It here refers back to faith. We are rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. We are to abound in the faith. Not just take our first few steps and the steps of a babe or a child, but we are to abound in our faith, walking in accordance with his commandments. This point is brought out also in 2 John verse 6, where we read, "This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." Walk in the commandment just as it was delivered in the beginning of the giving of the commandments of Christ. 2 John verses 9 through 11, we noticed verse 6 just a few moments ago, but verses 9 through 11 goes on to say, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house or greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds." If we want to be in fellowship with God, we must be practicing the doctrine of Christ. We must be abiding in the doctrine of Christ. We are to walk circumspectly or accurately. Ephesians 5 and verse 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." We are to rightly divide the word of truth, not pick and choose which parts we want, or not twist it to conform to our life, but we need to twist our life to conform with his word. Walk accurately and walk in holiness. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 8 says, "A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. They are not holy. They are not inclined to practice holiness. They are not inclined to walk with God, to walk with Christ. And therefore, they will not walk this highway of holiness. But it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray." It's as we walk this highway that we learn the foolishness of our previous ways and learn not to walk in those ways any longer, but to walk in this way of holiness, this way of righteousness. To walk with Christ, we must not walk with a vain mind or a darkened mind. Ephesians 4 and verses 17 through 19 says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." You know, you look at the concluding points that he's making there, that people are past feeling. The Bible in other places talks about hardening of the heart, that the word of God no longer pricks it. They are past feeling. They have given themselves over to lewdness and to work all uncleanness with greediness. Not only are they doing these things, they are greedy for it. There is a desire for it. And you might say, well, how did someone ever get to that point of a hardening of heart and being greedy for those things that are evil? You'll notice that in verse 17 he says, the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, and he begins at kind of an end. Their understanding is darkened, but why is their understanding darkened? You almost have to read it from the bottom up. There's a blindness in their heart, and that blindness of heart has produced ignorance in them. They are ignorant of the way of life and the way of truth, the way of God, a walk with Christ. They're ignorant as to how to do it. It's not in us to know how to do that. We have to be taught by God. And therefore, they are alienated from a life of God. If we will not give ourselves to the instruction of God's word, we are alienated from a life with God. We cannot walk with Him. We are alienated from Him. Our understanding is darkened because we will not come to the light of His word of truth. To walk with Christ, we must not walk in the path of the wicked. Proverbs 4 and verses 14 and 15 says, do not enter the path of the wicked. Don't you find it interesting here that there is a highway of holiness and there is also a path of the wickedness? Those who choose the path of the wicked will not walk in the highway of holiness. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it. Pass on. So the next time you find yourself being tempted to do that which God identifies as evil, remind yourself of this passage. You're being tempted to watch something that God would not have you to watch. Christ would not sit there and watch it with you. Christ would not walk with you where you are going to practice what you are contemplating practicing. He says, don't even contemplate it. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it. Pass on. You have made up your mind to walk the path of holiness. Stay on that path. Do not get off the path. Stay away from the path of the wicked. Proverbs 12 and verse 15 says it this way. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. He's not asking Christ how he should live his life. He's just doing whatever feels right to him. But he who heeds counsel is wise. Are you? Are you heeding the counsel of Christ and his word? Avoiding the way of unholiness and avoiding the way of evil? Turning from it? To walk with Christ, we must not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Psalms 1 and verses 1 and 2, very familiar passage, of course, to us. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. You cannot be meditating in the way of the Lord and walking in the path of evil. Psalms 1 and verses 5 through 6 goes on to say, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Which way are you in? The broad way that leads to destruction, or the narrow way of righteousness that leads to life? It's your choice, and it should be an obvious choice, how to walk in it and how not to walk in the way that leads to life. God rewards those who walk with Him. Enoch and Abraham and Noah were rewarded for their continuing in the favor of God, as it states in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. As you walk with Him, you experience the joy of walking in His path of righteousness. Ephesians 5 and verses 8 through 10 says, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to God." As we walk with Christ, we are going to be walking in the light of righteousness. Righteousness will be brought to light. Truth will be brought to light to us, and we can walk in that light that has been revealed. We are to walk as a companion with Christ in newness of life. Romans 6 and verses 3 through 4 says, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." You were baptized to have your sins washed away, to be dead to sin. You were baptized for the very same reason Jesus was crucified. He was crucified to take away your sins, that you might be dead to sins. That's why you were baptized. But the other side of it is that you come out of that watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life with Him. Walk in newness of life, progressing in this new life of righteousness and peace and joy. We are to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. If we gratify the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, we will not walk with Him. Romans 8 and the first six verses says it this way, "There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but they walk according to the Spirit." Next time you're tempted, ask yourself, who am I going to walk with? Am I going to walk in the flesh? Or I'm going to walk with Christ in the Spirit. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The wages of sin is death." I don't practice that any longer. I practice the law of life, the law of righteousness, walking in His way. "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh," to gratify the things of the flesh, to entertain the temporary carnal pleasures and passions of this life. "But those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." When we know the truth, we are made free from our sin, free from ourselves, free from our carnal desires to gratify the things of the Spirit, to be instructed in the ways of the Spirit, and to walk in the ways of the Spirit with God. And there we find peace. Peace within ourselves, because we know that God's Word has confirmed that we are at peace with God. We walk in fellowship and agreement with Him. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says it this way, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light." How is He in the light? "In Him there is no darkness at all." Have you resolved to walk in the light as he is in the light? To be ever learning of the way of righteousness? To practice his standard of righteousness? To be practicing his degree of walking in the light? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Are you walking with Christ? If not, why not? Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That's good if you're answering in the affirmative. But if that's as far as it goes, your faith is no greater than those of the demons. For they believe there is one God, but they tremble. If you believe in Christ, but you know that you're not walking with him, you should tremble. You should know that you're not in that highway of holiness, that you're walking that path of the evil. And Christ encourages you to step off of that path and to walk with him in the way of holiness and righteousness. The Bible calls that repentance. And Jesus said, except you repent, you will perish. He doesn't want you to perish. Hopefully you don't want to perish. And we encourage you to turn from your sin, to walk with him in the path of righteousness this very day. If you're here today and you're ready to confess him as the Son of God, Jesus said, whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. Then be baptized for the remission of your sins. As Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Those on the day of Pentecost were convinced that Jesus of Nazareth was both Lord and Christ and asked, what shall we do? And the Holy Spirit gave the words to Peter to respond to their question, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. 3,000 that day obeyed the gospel of Christ and were baptized. They began to walk in newness of life with him. And the Lord continued to add to the body of the saved those that were being saved every day. Will you be added to this body of the saved today? Will you walk with Christ? You might say, well, I don't know how. Well, there was a time that you didn't know how to walk physically either, but you had a desire to. And that desire led you to lean upon others, to learn from others, to finally learn to put one foot in front of the other, to stabilize yourself and to walk. And the same is also true, that we begin this walk with Christ as babes in Christ, but we mature in him, but we always lean on him and his way. And if you're here and you're of a mind to do that, to live that way, we'd encourage you to let it be known. If you're here today and a child of God, and you would acknowledge that you haven't been walking with him, that you're out of favor with him because you haven't been walking with him, he invites you to come back, to repent, to confess, and to have your brothers and sisters pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, please come as we stand and sing this song.